This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Hundreds of people have been killed and wounded in the Liberian capital of Monrovia after some of the bloodiest fighting between rebel groups and government forces in that war-torn African country, and the number is expected to rise. Reports out of Monrovia say dozens of bodies are piled out in the street in front of the American embassy, where thousands of refugees have sought shelter. As the number of casualties increases, the aid organization Doctors Without Borders reports that medical services in Monrovia have been overwhelmed. Amid today's fighting, one of the rebel leaders announced a ceasefire, though shots are still being heard in Monrovia. U.S. Marines have been sent to the country, but only a relative handful, to bolster security at the U.S. embassy and to help with some evacuations. The White House says it is still considering whether to send in peacekeeping troops. Later this hour, we'll bring you an update on what we know about nuclear weapons programs in Iran and North Korea, and we'll bring you up to date on Iraq. If you're just joining us, there is news today of a firefight in Mosul in a villa outside of that northern Iraqi city. Two of the bodies recovered from the rubble of that ruined villa are reported to be those of Uday and Qusay Hussein, the sons of Saddam Hussein, numbers 2 and 3 on the most wanted list in Iraq. But first, Liberia. Experts agree that there is a mounting humanitarian crisis there, but the question of sending in peacekeepers is complicated. What do you think the U.S. should do? Should we commit American troops to what could be a long, expensive, and possibly bloody peacekeeping operation? Are there questions you want answered before a decision is made? Give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now from Monrovia is NPR's Africa reporter Jason Bobian. And hi, Jason.
Hi, Neil.
Can you bring us up to date on what's happening in the capital, particularly on this reported call for a ceasefire? Is anyone abiding by it?
Well, that ceasefire call came out of Accra, Ghana, from one of the leaders of the main rebel group, Liberians United for Reconciliation and Democracy. They're otherwise known as LURD. And that came sort of mid-afternoon our time. And since then, there's still been fighting. Talked with one of the leaders there in Accra, and he said that this isn't a soccer game. This is war. It takes time for things to stop. But clearly, the fighting continued for the rest of the afternoon, and some mortar shells came in. As a matter of fact, several of them came in just across the street, again from the U.S. Embassy this afternoon. It's still unclear the number of wounded there, but certainly there were quite a few wounded, and other reporters saw the wounded being brought out of this refugee camp that has established across from the U.S. Embassy.
We'd seen pictures and heard reports earlier of bodies being put in front of the U.S. Embassy by people who were angry at the United States?
Yes, that's correct. Yesterday, when the mortar shelling was really getting bad yesterday and shells were falling all over central Monrovia, towards the middle of the day, Marines were coming into the U.S. Embassy to help bolster security there, and sort of this combination of those two events led to this great outpouring of anger here in the streets against the U.S., because the U.S. Has been considering sending peacekeepers for so long, but hasn't yet even made a decision whether they're going to send them or not. And as these mortars were killing people in the streets, people started dragging the bodies and placing them in front of the U.S. Embassy. And there was a pile of 16 or 17 bodies at one point late in the afternoon yesterday. These are bodies that had been hit by mortar shells, and so they were ripped apart fairly badly. It was quite a gruesome sight. Today, those bodies were still out there in the morning, but someone had gone out and wrapped them up in tarps.
Over the past couple of days, we've heard news that President Bush has told the Secretary of Defense to move a floating force of U.S. Marines closer to Liberia, but that force is now on the other side of the continent, off the Horn of Africa, off the east coast of Africa, and it would take, at least a week or so to be in position.
Yes, and originally people were really excited to hear this news that the U.S. was going to be sending troops into the region, that they might be deployed quickly into the streets here. But then it became clear how long it was going to take for that to happen, and that also just turned to anger against the U.S. They feel that people on the streets here tell you that the United States military has the capability to send in troops immediately if they're serious about it. And the fighting is very intense in Monrovia over the last few days. The city is under siege, and they don't want to wait a week. People are really just afraid that they're going to be killed, or that their relatives are going to be killed, that their loved ones are going to be killed. And so the idea that the conditions, particularly that were going on yesterday, where the mortars were just falling everywhere, that just was unacceptable to people. And so while people welcome that the U.S. is going to do something, people were seeing it as being too little, too late.
ECOWAS, the Eastern, the economic organization, that's sort of the regional organization there in that part of Africa, they have also been talking about sending in peacekeepers, but obviously don't have the military capacity of the United States. Is there any confidence that ECOWAS will be able to make a difference anytime soon?
There's also frustration here with ECOWAS and with the promise. I mean, they have out and out promised that they're going to send peacekeepers, and yet they're still meeting in Senegal now to try to hammer out exactly how they're going to do that logistically, who's going to lead the force. A lot of the actual questions that need to be answered before a force can be sent haven't been answered. Also, ECOWAS did come in the early 1990s. There was a lot of dissatisfaction here in Liberia with the ECOWAS troops that came in during the middle of when Charles Taylor was leading a fight against the then government, as a rebel leader. Charles Taylor was attempting to gain power, and ECOWAS was not considered to be extremely effective. People here think that the U.S. is going to be the force, if anybody is going to come in here and be their savior. People here really believe that it's the United States.
Now, you mentioned President Taylor. We have heard many different statements from him over the past weeks and days and perhaps hours about the conditions under which he might agree to leave.
Yes, and one of those conditions has always been that he won't leave until peacekeepers are on the ground. Peacekeepers clearly aren't on the ground. Then he sometimes says peacekeepers have to be on the ground for a week. Sometimes he says peacekeepers have to be on the ground, in his terms, in sufficient numbers, so he would be sort of determining when he feels that there are enough peacekeepers here. It's interesting also, one other thing that he said that he needed to do before he would go into exile was to bury his mother, and that actually happened today. He held a funeral for his mother, who had died 4 weeks ago, and so people are a little bit optimistic that maybe he is moving towards going into exile. Taylor had said that he wanted to bury his mother on Liberian soil, and so that did happen today. So one of the conditions has been checked off.
What can you tell us about the humanitarian situation in Monrovia today? Food, water, electricity, medical care?
It should be remembered that Monrovia hasn't had a functioning electricity system or running water system for years. This is a city that has been ravaged by civil war for a long, long time. And then on top of that, you compound that now this is a city under siege. You've got rebels across the two bridges to the west of the city. Essentially, Monrovia is on a spit of land, and the rebels have completely cut off access from the west. The government controls the land to the east, but the president's mansion is out there, and so that road is closed, and so it's really impossible for any goods and services to move around, and also it's very difficult just to get out in the streets. People who are moving around today are just running from one place to another, trying to get water, trying to get food. All of that is in very limited supply at this point.
Jason, thanks very much for being with us, and take care of yourself.
Thanks, Neil.
Jason Bobian of NPR News speaking with us from Monrovia, Liberia. Joining us now is Jack Spencer, a senior policy analyst for national security at the Heritage Foundation, and welcome.
Thank you.
You wrote a memo for the Heritage Foundation entitled Why U.S. Troops Should Not Be Sent to Liberia. Can you briefly tell us why you believe that?
Sure. First of all, we got to quit using this term peacekeeping. There clearly is no peace to be kept there. I think that the first thing we need to do, the United States needs to do, as well as neighboring countries, is to help the Liberians come up with a political settlement. And if, as part of that political settlement, they feel the need to have an international peacekeeping force to help them sustain that the settlement, then I think we can work, the United States can work with the international community to facilitate that peacekeeping force. However, putting U.S. troops on the ground now, before there's a peace, or later to as part of a peacekeeping force, I simply don't think is a good idea for a number of reasons. One, the United States simply does not make good peacekeepers. Our troops are trained and equipped to fight and win wars. We're seeing now in Iraq, whenever they're asked to take on the functions of providing internal security and things of that nature, that's just not really what they've been trained to do. It's not that we couldn't do that or train them to do that, but that's not what they are currently trained to do. Secondly, the U.S. forces are targets. Unlike really any other country in the world, U.S. forces provide a very valuable target to either terrorists or any sort of organization or entity who wants to demonstrate its own capability. By killing an American troop, you do that. You gain notoriety. And I think, as importantly as everything else, is that there is a great demand right now around the world for large-scale expeditionary warfare, and only the United States can conduct these missions. And for that reason, I think that the United States, already stretched very thinly around the world, can best help Liberia by facilitating an international peacekeeping force through logistics and things of that nature, rather than actually providing the forces on the ground.
Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And let's take a call from Philip, who joins us from his car in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you very much for taking my call. I want to thank all of you for the great job you guys are doing for our country. My comment I want to make here is that Israel is a plea to the international world. These guys, including Charles Taylor, the rebel, and all of them that are sitting in Ghana, are no good to our country. They have no interest for the people of that nation. All they want is to be wealthy. They will do more than what Charles Taylor is doing for that nation. They will kill people. They will do the same thing. We are pleading to the United Nations to step in, do that for us, and do just what you did in Kosovo, what you did in other nations across the globe, including East Timor. Do that for us. That's all we're asking. Or if they cannot do that, if that's too much, then give the citizens of that nation the army and ammunition, let them defend themselves. Because right now, they are the only one being killed since 1990 to now. None of Charles Taylor's family have died. His mother died, but it was old age.
Yes.
But every day, people are dying, innocent people, and they don't have anything to defend themselves. Seems like both Taylor and the warlord have declared war on the citizens of Liberia.
Can we get a brief response from that, from Jack Spencer?
Well, I think that the caller has a point. I think that in cases of civil war, it's up to the citizens of that country to resolve the problem. Think of our own civil war here in America. What would have happened if some external power had come in and said, now, North and the South, you guys got to quit fighting, and we're going to put in external peacekeepers here so that you guys don't quit killing each other. The fact of the matter is a lot of Americans died during the U.S. Civil War. And I think we're seeing the same sort of thing here. Not that we want to encourage violence. By no means is that what we want. But the fact of the matter is, it's up to the Liberians to come up with a resolution to this problem.
Jack Spencer of the Heritage Foundation is our guest. When we come back from a short break, we'll also be joined by Congressman Elijah Cummings of Maryland, chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, for his response to the appeals from Liberians for U.S. intervention to stop the fighting in Monrovia. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the West African country of Liberia. Its history is directly tied to our own. In 1820, the U.S. Congress granted $100,000 to the Americanization Colonization Society, which was founded to satisfy both abolitionists who wanted freed black slaves to be able to return to Africa and to satisfy slave owners who wanted free blacks expelled from the United States. The $100,000 is to be used to found the colony of Liberia. For the first 20 years, Liberia was governed by whites. The first black governor, James Jenkins Roberts, came from Petersburg, Virginia in 1842. 5 years later, in 1847, Liberia became a sovereign republic governed by blacks with a flag and a constitution modeled on that of the United States. In the 1920s, U.S. Firestone established the world's largest rubber plantation in Liberia. In the 1940s, the U.S. constructed a military base in the capital, Monrovia, which is, of course, named after a former president of the United States, James Monroe. In the 1950s, during the Cold War, Liberia became a strategic partner for the United States in the fight to prevent the spread of communism in Africa. In 1972, Liberia established diplomatic relations with the Soviet bloc and with Cuba, and relations with the United States turned sour. From 1962 to 1980, Liberia received more U.S. foreign aid than any other African nation. In 1980, riots followed by the assassination of President Tolbert by Samuel K. Doe. Doe reestablished Liberia as an American Cold War ally. In 1989, the Cold War ended, though, and the Liberian Civil War began when Charles Taylor led rebel forces into Monrovia. In 1997, Taylor became the new president of Liberia. In 1996, war broke out in the capital city of Monrovia, and it has been, as we've been hearing, a very difficult time there. Our guest is Jack Spencer, a senior policy analyst for national security at the Heritage Foundation. Are there questions that you want answered before you would feel comfortable to commit U.S. troops to Liberia? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. You can send us email at totn@npr.org. And let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is Al, who's on the line with us from Waterford, Michigan. Hello, Al.
Yeah, this is Alvin. How are you doing?
Very well, Al. You're on the air.
Okay. I'm so happy. What a perfect and excellent timeline about Liberia you just gave. With the information given to the people of America, did you understand that Liberia is a traditional friend to the Americas? So it is about time that they go back and help us be relieved of the crisis that is continuing. I've been in Liberia. I reported over the years. I came recently. I went to villages and towns. The most affected people are the women and children. They are innocent. They don't have guns. So we're calling on the U.S. people. I know they say they don't have strategic interest. But to get involved as quick as possible to lead the peace process, the peacekeeping process. Though they are trained to fight and win war, but they can do something. They believe in democracy. They've done it over the world. They can do it for Liberia. This is our call. I'm one of many from the University of Liberia. I'm one of many journalists who reported on the war. I was forced to leave. But however, I still love my people. There's a need for you and the other people in America, together with the government of Bush, to get involved and help our people.
Well, Jack Spencer of the Heritage Foundation, doesn't the U.S. long relationship with Liberia, some suggesting, including our caller, that there is a real attachment there?
Well, let me be clear. I think the United States does have a responsibility to help Liberia resolve this problem. My point simply is that I don't believe that putting U.S. military forces on the ground is going to help them resolve that problem in the long run. So often we want to throw military and money at problems that don't require a military and money answer. What we need to do as the United States is to help them broker a peace and then help facilitate that peace. I did not mean in any way, shape, or form to suggest that we should turn our backs on Liberia. In fact, I think as we look around the world, we see a lot of anti-Americanism. That's not the case in Africa. In fact, we see a lot of admiration for the United States in Africa, and I think it's incredibly important that this administration and future administrations in our country look at Africa as a great opportunity, and we need to help that many countries on that continent to get their politics straightened out. And that's the bottom line. It's not always about troop deployment. Sometimes it's about putting forth the political will to help them achieve what they need to achieve. And to get to this unique history that we have with Liberia, it's not just Liberia. While we do have a unique history with that country, we have a unique history with many countries in Africa, and I think that that's something that we need to remember as well. While Liberia was founded by freed American slaves, We have a lot of connections because of that past with a lot of countries in Africa, and that's something that we need to remember as we move forward, as we develop new policies consistent with the new century with that with many countries in Africa.
Al, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joining us now from Capitol Hill is Congressman Elijah Cummings, a Democrat of Maryland and chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, and welcome to the program. Good to have you back.
It's good to be with you.
The Black Caucus has called on President Bush to send peacekeeping troops to Liberia. Why?
Well, first of all, we have a situation where I think the United States has a special relationship with Liberia. Your last call, I think, outlined it quite well, the history of Liberia. But more significant than that is the fact that we have a situation where we call for the United States to go in and do some peacekeeping along with African troops. We're asking for 2,000 to 3,000 American troops to go in with about 3,000 African troops. And the reason why we want that is because the Liberian people want it. The two main rebel groups want it. Taylor, President Taylor, wants it. And certainly Kofi Annan has asked for it. And we believe that we can go in there, the United States can go in there, and performing a peacekeeping task with little threat of harm coming to our troops. It's clear that it seems like this feud is one that needs someone or a nation with the strength, the power, and the reputation of the United States to come in and try to get these people, these folks, to not be so warring against each other. And everybody is asking for it. And I think that's a very unique situation.
Now, a lot of people, including our other guest, Jack Spencer, have argued that, you know, there's no vital American interest there. Why, given the overstretch of American forces, which I'm sure you're aware of, all over the world, why should we send more troops into Liberia, where indeed they may become targets?
Well, certainly, that's always a risk. The target risk is always there. But I think we have a situation here where a small amount of effort would yield major benefits. We see over the last day or so 90 people having been killed. Last 2 weeks, 500. Last 15 years or so, 200 to 300,000. I think that whenever we can save human life, we should do that. And this, again, based on our history with this country, the fact that it was a country that was used for intelligence purposes with regard to Muammar Gaddafi. It was a country which has always cooperated with the United States whenever called upon. I think it's very important. And the other thing that I think we need to do is we need to send a strong message out that we are indeed about the duty and about we understand our need to create some goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very significant.
There are would U.S. peacekeepers, if they were sent, would they be perceived as propping up President Taylor? Is that something you would want them to be perceived?
Of course not. We have made the Congressional Black Caucus agreed with President Bush that Mr. Taylor has to go, and he has to go immediately. We're not looking towards him being around there. I mean, Obasanjo, the president of Nigeria, has already given him an opportunity to come to Nigeria and to be protected. He needs to go. We do not see him as a friend of humanity. We see him as a man who has done much harm to his people. Mm. And as a matter of fact, we believe that he, as long as he is there, it's going to be almost impossible to create a peaceful situation. So if you have a combination of Taylor, President Taylor, leaving, peacekeeping troops coming from the United States and Africa, and, of course, combined with that, everybody asking for this and saying, look, we're fighting, but we believe that if you come in, United States, you can make a difference. I think it is a situation that begs for our presence and for our participation.
Let's see if we can get one more phone call in on this subject. John joins us on the line from Fort Lauderdale.
Hi.
Hi.
Real quick question. Supposing the United States does send troops in, and that's a whole bunch of them, what's going to happen? Are the factions from both sides going to say, oh, look, there's an American soldier, let's lay down our gun and have peace? I don't think it's going to happen quite like that. There's going to be a lot of Americans killed. What's going to stop them?
I think that's an excellent question. I think the first thing we have to do is, even before we get there, ask that Monrovia be a no-weapon zone. I think we have to start there. Much of the violence and many of the problems are taking a place right there in Monrovia, and certainly it is a key place for all Monrovians, I mean all of our people in Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I think that, again, I don't think they're just going to just lay down, but when you have the heads of these factions who seem to have pretty good say over their troops, in other words, I think there's pretty good discipline. If they are standing up and saying, we'll come to the peace table, we will stop our fighting, we just need somebody to help us, you know, iron this thing out and begin to talk and work it out, I think it will not be as difficult as the hypothetical that you just presented.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that we always, even no matter what, we take the risk that you just talked about. One other small point. It may be that by going there and creating a peaceful situation, people constantly talk about our troops being down and the morale being down because of Iraq and other places. But the fact is, I think if we can go there, do some good deeds, I think it would be uplifting to our troops as opposed to their morale staying at a very low point.
John, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Jack Spencer, before we have to let you go, you made John's point a little bit just before he did. But there's another side to this. If U.S. forces go, is not there a question of pictures of U.S. forces using violence, unleashing a lot of firepower on child soldiers?
I think that is a possibility. What we need to understand here is that what the congressman was just talking about is not a peacekeeping force. And putting 2,000 American troops in this situation, I think, is a recipe for disaster. What we need to do, or what they would have to do if the congressman were to have his way, is to put a massive force in there to overthrow the regime of Charles Taylor and to do a post-conflict operation like what's going on in Iraq. Essentially, it's another regime change operation. The difference is that we have no compelling national security interest, and that is going to lead to long-term destabilization. Instead, what we need to do is help the Liberians come up with a political settlement now that can last into the future.
Congressman Cummings, we'll give you the last 30 seconds.
While we sit and wait, people die. And I know that may not hit you real hard, but every life is a valuable life. And these lives are ending, I mean, at a tremendously rapid pace.
Including those American lives. There's American lives that will be lost when they are sent to Liberia for what probably will not be a long-term solution.
Jack Spencer, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Jack Spencer, a senior policy analyst for national security at the Heritage Foundation, a think tank here in Washington, D.C. And Congressman Cummings, we appreciate your time as well.
Thank you.
Congressman Elijah Cummings is chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, and he spoke with us from Capitol Hill. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.